Everybody remember first day of school jitters? Any of our first year college students, you guys lived first week already. It's new, it's exciting, but also it's a little bit, how is it going to work out? And every new level we go to, there's something new. There's some new challenge, something new that we face. Today we're going to be starting something new as a church, several new things as a church. One is we're going to be looking at this semester, this whole fall season, we're going to be looking at characters in the Bible that prepared the way for Jesus. These were imperfect people. These were people that, like, if you were going to pick the godly leader, many of these individuals would not be the ones you would choose, but God not only chose them, he used them. Just like God takes us as his imperfect people, messed up people, he works in our lives, he uses us even in our imperfections to be a blessing in the world and to change the lives of others. So we're going to look together as the king, the true king is coming, the perfect one is coming, but we're looking at the imperfect characters that lead the way. Something else we're going to be doing today is we're starting new Bible studies. And I want you to be invited and encouraged to stick around after worship today. Because today we are starting some new classes. One's going to be on the end times. That could be interesting to some of you guys. One's going to be on new seasons. We're calling it first fruits. What is that about? Well, many of you guys are in a new season going to college. You're in a new season of, hey, I've been married a year or so. You're in a new season like I just started my career. You're in a new season of, hey, I retired. I mean, something's new, something's changed, something's new for you. Would you feel free and be encouraged to come to that First Fruits Bible study? We're going to split up and do some things together to help us become a church body more and more. And then another two Bible studies, we're going to be looking at Men in the Mirror. Is going to continue to do with Pastor Barry, and we have our women's Bible study, kind of like co-led by Kesset and Liz. So you guys want to kind of the mother-daughter combo team, right? I think is what's happening, right? That's going to be kind of exciting. So men's Bibles, women's Bible studies, or the other two, I want to encourage you to say, you know what? It is a new year. Well, at least a new academic year. I'm jumping in. I want to see what's going on. I want to see how God might want to speak to me in this season. All right, well, let's pray, and then we're going to jump into the scripture together. Father, you are good. What you do is good. Your promises are true. You've never failed. Lord, we confess that we need you today. We need you not only in our lives, but as we send off the young people into college and we send off the children off into first grade, Lord, we need you for your provision, your protection, your guidance. God, we need you every hour. Lord, remind us of our need of you today. Remind us of how we can turn back to you today. God, speak in our lives. We need you. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today we're looking at, like I said, this new series, The True King is Coming, and we're looking at the imperfect people that sort of prepared the way, that led the foundation. We're going to begin in the book of Judges. Now, let me just tell you where we are in the story of God. God has been revealing himself to these patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. There were these 12 sons of Jacob that ended up going to Egypt and being enslaved there ultimately. And the people of God, the nation of Israel, grew to over 1 million people, but they were enslaved. And they came out of slavery through God's mighty work, using a man named Moses. Moses was that prophet of God who revealed God. God did miracles through him. And God brought the people out and said, hey, I'm taking you to the promised land. People didn't quite obey God. And God said, okay, you guys aren't going to the promised land. You're going to wander around the desert for 40 years. Then after those 40 years, it was time for the promised land. That's where we're picking up the story. Moses has passed off the situation to Joshua. Joshua has led the people into the promised land. And now even Joshua, that next great leader, that next leader of God's people, is going to be with God. And he's about to pass on leadership to the people. All right, this is where we pick up the story. Right here with all the people of God. They're in the promised land. Joshua's gone, Moses is gone, and let's see what happens. Judges chapter 2 is where we're picking up, if you're following along in your Bible, or you can follow along on the screen. It says, after Joshua had dismissed the Israelites, like, okay, go ahead, we've conquered the land, go take possession of the land, go to your own inheritance, that's what he told them to do. It says in verse 7 that the people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua, and the elders who outlived him, and all who had seen the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Okay, stop right there. They did what they were supposed to do. They followed God. This generation and this generation's leaders, they followed God. They had seen God work in their lives. They were excited about it. Do many of you have those moments where you're like, you can look back and say, yeah, that was a season in my life. I know God was moving, where God was teaching me these things, where God was doing something that only God could do, where God had brought me into that relationship with him and I was really excited about it. When God, I was at a youth camp and man, God just did these things. I was on this mission trip and God really used me. Yeah? You've got those seasons. We look back at those and they are encouraging for us in our lives. But here's the thing. We can't just live in the past. These people could not just live on the past. Now, as long as Joshua was around, as long as those elders were around, who had seen God's powerful miracles in the desert, who had seen the manna come day after day, who had seen the fire by night and the cloud by day that led them, who had seen the water come from the rock that God provided, who had seen the quail, who had seen the God's provision in the among the great victories, and the walls of Jericho come down. When the people were there to remind and say, these were the stories, these were what we, they stayed afresh. They served God. They were faithful. But how quickly we can all cool off. We see this generationally in this story. Look at the next verse, verse 10. After that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. After that generation went away, it just didn't get passed on. It just didn't get passed on. How in the world could that have happened? How in the world did they not pass on this knowledge of God? How did they not know the deeds of the Lord? If you see this next slide, when it pops up there, you've got this stone of rocks just out in the, someone's piled up in the desert. Now, this isn't probably the actual stone of rocks, right? That Joshua was told to collect a set of stones when they crossed over the Jordan River and set up a pile of rocks. Now, I want you to see this because God knew how forgetful the people are. God knew that some of us forget to do our handwriting assignments day after day. God knew that some of us forget to do that instruction that our spouse gives us to, like, hey, could you go up the stairs and get my... I come down with everything but that. I don't know how we do it. But God knows how forgetful. So he told Joshua to set up some stones. Let's look at it. In Joshua chapter 4, it says this. And Joshua set up at Gilgal 12 stones, one for each of the tribes. Set up a pile, 12 stones that you take out of the Jordan River. He said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Here's what you're supposed to answer, verse 22. Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan River on dry ground. Now you could go ahead and add some details. At flood stage, when it would have been impossible to cross, especially for a million people and their flocks and their herds. It would have been impossible with all of their tents and equipment, with all the things that they had gathered over 40 years, all of their possessions. It would have been impossible for them to try to cross. But God dried up the Jordan River, and when they crossed, it wasn't even muddy. It was dry ground. You tell them that story. He says, why? For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea. Even bigger than the river, God parted the Red Sea for Moses as the entire nation of Israel crossed through. And then he pulled that waters back over the military might of the Egyptians, wiping out their entire army in one quick flood of destruction. What? God provided the victory. God provided the deliverance. God had done mighty things. And he says, set up these stones so that when the people ask, what are these stones? You would tell them what?
Not just the Jordan story, but the Red Sea story. And all of the miracles. Let's go ahead and recount the deeds of God. Recount the deeds of God.
Do you see what God intended? Why God told him to set up the stones? So they would tell the stories. I don't know if you have this at your house, but my wife calls it reciting my good deeds. So often I will say to you, hey, did you see that the dishes got done? Hey, did you see how the yard's all kind of done? She calls it recounting my good deeds, that I recount my good, because I kind of just want to make sure she noticed that along the way, these things got done. You know, it's out of my great love and my devotion, whatever. I want to get credit. My neighbor's not going to say anything, but just know that I did the lawn this week. For us, we need to recount the deeds of the Lord. We need to remember the good things he has done. We need to sit and take time and go through being thankful at night for the things he's given us that day. How we made it through the Beltway today without an accident. Sometimes that's a miracle. How he made it through, I had enough money this month. How he made it through where God spoke to me and gave me guidance in that situation in my life. I need to recount the deeds of the Lord to myself so that I can know in the future I know he's going to provide. So that my friends and my family and my people I'm working with and discipling would hear the word of the Lord, that they would be reminded of these truths. We need to recount the deeds of the Lord to our children. As I've gotten older, I've heard more stories from my dad, stories I never heard before. When I was going through some difficulties in my life, my dad started telling me stories that he kept from me when I was younger. And some of those stories, I'm glad he did. He didn't want me to get jaded about maybe church life and other things. But he would recount the deeds about how God guided and how God provided. I need to hear the stories of the Lord in my own life, from my own life, but also from my dad, my parents, my grandparents. We need to know from our friends and our church members. This is why we're a body of believers and need to be a body of believers. I need to know the stories that God has done in Roy and Elaine's life. I need to know the stories from Jacob's life. I need to know the stories from Joe's. I need to know the stories that we share from Karen's life. Right? We need to hear, because there are moments when we're feeling overwhelmed, we're feeling lost, or we're tempted to forget the Lord. The Lord gave them these stones as a reminder. Can I tell you the problem with the stones? I mean, it was a good idea, God. I'm all for it. God's wise. This was a good one. They had to go see the stones. They had to go to Gilgal where the stones were. The stones weren't in front of everybody's house. The stones weren't everywhere. They had to go. Brothers and sisters, I'm just going to let you know, if we start forsaking the time with God, if we start forsaking the time with his people, if we're not here at church weekly kind of thing, I mean, we all miss time. There's all a vacation. I get it. But if it becomes a habit that we're not here hearing what God is doing, guess what happens? We forget the mighty deeds of the Lord. We forget his goodness in our lives. God has placed us in a people to be, the church is to be a reminder to us. They're like our stones. They're like the stones that remind us of God's goodness and his great deeds in our lives. But the Lord didn't just leave them with this one pile of rocks in one place. That was an important one. But he also left him his word. He also left him his words through Moses. I want you to see what God says in Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Does anybody recognize that verse? Who quoted that one? Jesus quoted that one. When did he quote that one? He was asked a particular question. Out of all of the commandments, which commandment is the greatest? And he answered with this verse: Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. He actually added with all your mind, with all your strength. Okay, here's the thing.
was that just sort of like a radical, way to go, Jesus. You summarized it so well. Way to go, Jesus. You really pinpointed the right thing. You summarized, out of all the different commandments and the feast days and the sacrifices, and do not murder, do not steal, don't commit adultery. Out of all of those things, you really picked. Do you realize Jesus said, in some ways, what every good Jewish person should have said at that time? It was called the Shema. Shema is a Hebrew word just for hear. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. It's like, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And the next, it keeps on going. And so love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you were in Jesus' day and even today, if you were being faithful to the Lord and to the Torah and to God's law, you would say this each morning when you get up and each morning when you go to bed. This is the one they had memorized. They were all like, yeah, of course, yeah, good one. This would have been a great answer that everyone in some way should have expected and should have heard, because God is saying, remember, love me. Love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This does summarize all the law and the prophets. Everything hangs on this, and to love your neighbor as yourself is also from Leviticus, and Jesus says, that's the second one, and we got to love people. Absolutely. But the rest of that passage is really important. It's not just love the Lord, but God knows how fickle we are. God knows that we need a good rubber band in our life. God knows that we are the ones that forget to do our handwriting homework. God knows that our memories are challenged. And so Deuteronomy 6 goes on to say this. Notice, these commandments that I give you, and this is from God, today are to be what? On your hearts. Impress them on your children. That's a great verb. How do you impress something on your kid child, right? How do you remind them time and time again? Some of you guys who are currently parenting, you know what this is about. Some of you guys that are the current school teachers, you know what this is about. My wife says that her first, when she used to teach elementary students, her first weeks, usually 2 weeks, she said, most of what our kids learned were the routines of my classroom. We got, this is how you line up. This is how you put your books away. This is how you where you store your equipment. This is how you listen to the teacher. This is what's going to be on the board in the morning. This is the first thing you do when you get to class. This is where you turn in your assignments. That as a teacher, you've got to train your people what to do. That's impressing upon them, to your children. How are we doing that for both spiritual children, those who need to know God, and our literal physical children, those who are younger in our midst, that we need to be teaching them. He says to do what? Talk about it. Talk about it when you're sitting at home. Talk about it when you're walking along the road. Talk about it when you lie down. Talk about it when you get up. Talk about the good deeds of the Lord, the things he has done. Talk about what God has called us to do as a church and his people. Talk about these things. He goes on to say, tie them as symbols on your hands, bind them on your foreheads. This became a legalistic thing for the Jewish people. They called phylacteries, right? They would tie ropes around their arm, and they have a little box, and they would put little scripture scrolls that they would put in the boxes or have them on their heads or on the hat kind of thing. You would literally wear pieces of scripture on your body. I don't know that that's really what God is wanting us to do. He goes on to say, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. There are people that will often, when they're having a house built or a shed built, they'll put some scripture on the frames, and maybe for God's blessing, that would be underneath the sheetrock somewhere. There's some scripture. I think that's fine if it helps you remember. I think the idea from God here is anything you want to do to help you remember the Lord and his good deeds in your life, do it. Is it journaling? A young lady that comes to our volleyball told me, she said, I finished my first journal. I'm like, what do you mean? She said, I wanted to write down everything that God's been doing in my life and teaching me, and I made it through. I filled up a whole journal. I'm starting my next one. That's going to be cool someday, right? She can go back and read what God has done in her life. Journaling. Is it, okay, maybe not a rubber band, but do you have a bracelet? Do you wear a cross? I mean, they're fashionable right now. Everybody's wearing a cross. But is it something that when you put it on, you're saying, I'm remembering that I belong to the Lord, that I'm living as a living sacrifice? Is it almost like a ritual? I mean, not like it is a ritual. It's not something that God is pleased with. But he is pleased with our hearts, saying, God, I'm dedicating this day to you. I'm dedicating my life to you. This is for you. What are you doing to remember the Lord? A whole generation had forgotten about God. A whole generation had forgotten the stories. They'd forgotten the commandments because they failed to do these things. They didn't impress them to their children. They didn't talk about them every day. They didn't write them down, put a frame on their window or a frame on their wall that just has a scripture verse, something that you see, something that you acknowledge, and even the Shema. Do you have a verse that you just recite when you get up and in the morning? Do you have a song that you sing before you go to bed? We need to remember the Lord. Verse 10, so when the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to the fathers, skipping down to verse 12, be careful that you don't forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, the land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God. Serve him only and take oaths in his name. And no matter what you do, don't go follow other gods, the gods of the people around you. You got the commands. Remember the Lord. Remember his commands. And don't, whatever you do, start following other gods, right? Let's go back to Judges and see what happened. Anybody got a little prediction of what's going to happen? All right. Judges chapter 2, verse 11. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And guess who they served? The other gods, the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who brought them out of Egypt. They worshipped various gods of the people around them. And there was the failure. There was the failure. They forgot the Lord, and so they went and started worshiping other gods. So for us, what do we need to do to remember the Lord in our lives? To remember his good deeds in our lives? Well, number one, I'm just going to say, we need to have routines. I've mentioned some of them already. Is there a prayer you pray in the morning asking God to take? Is it putting on a cross? Is it looking at maybe a picture or some scripture that you have on your wall? Is it a post-it note that you have that you got stuck on your desk? Do you have your Bible on your desk? And do you read some verses before you start the day and head off to class? What are the things, what are the routines you have? Is it being part of church each week? Is it joining Bible study or Tuesday nights at the Towson Grace Life? What is it that you're doing weekly to remember the Lord? If you really want to remember things, can I give you a number two? Start teaching. Start teaching. Whether it's helping teach our children, whether it's helping teach a Bible study, whether it's helping lead a family group, whether it's just talking once a week with a friend that's a new Christian, someone who doesn't know as much as you do, and maybe you're like, I barely know anything. That's okay, that you know more than somebody. Start telling these deeds, impressing them on someone else. Do you have someone you're sharing the deeds of the Lord with? Are you teaching someone else the truths that God has taught you? Are you passing on a verse that God has told you? One student asked me about, how do you know these verses that just seem to come to your head? It's like, because I keep teaching them. I read it and I teach it. Once I've taught it, it sticks with me better. We need to teach the Lord. So the Lord, when he was saying, impress this upon your kids, it was not just for the children. It was upon for them as well. We need to teach. We need to find ways to be a witness and to teach. And finally, I call them triggers. Right? Triggers are often things we use as something bad, like, oh no, I've been triggered. You know, like something bad that sets off an emotion. But we can have good triggers too. We need those things that call our attention. We need to have that. All right. You know, for first week, brand new students, first week, here's what you do, right? You remember? You put your Bible on your desk. You go to your Christian group. And you find a church home in the first month type of thing, right? First day, put the Bible on your desk. First week, find a Christian group to go just check out. First month, find a church that you've decided you're going to be part of that church for at least this semester, right? Maybe you'll change, but you got to plug in. You got to get connected. Some first steps to say, this is what I'm going to do. Because you need things that are reminders. Maybe it's a reminder on your phone, an alarm that goes off that for some of us that we got to remind to take our medicine. But what about saying, I also say a prayer during that moment for this one person, for this one thing. What are the signals in your life that are reminding you to seek the Lord today, to follow him today? Because God was very clear in this passage about the results of their sin. God was very clear that there were terrible results in forsaking the Lord. Let's look at this next passage about forsaking the Lord. It comes in Judges chapter 2. It says, verse 12, the rest of that verse says, they aroused the Lord's anger because they forsook him and they served Baal and the Ashtoreth. He says, in his anger against Israel, the Lord gave them into the hands of raiders who plundered him. He sold them into the hands of all their enemies all around, and they were no longer able to resist. Whenever Israel went out to fight, the hand of the Lord was against them to defeat them, just as he had sworn to them. They were in great distress. Do you remember that Pixar movie, A Bug's Life? Where he had the little ants. And he went to find some other bugs to help him out, right? But what was wrong with the ants? They were the oppressive grasshoppers, right, that were coming. Hopper and his legions of locusts. Which locusts and grasshoppers are the same things. Locusts are just grasshoppers that are swarming. I never knew that, but did a little research. Okay, what's the difference? But apparently locusts are grasshoppers that are swarming. Sometimes it's like, this is the judgment that God would use. The peoples around, the peoples from within, they would begin to oppress. They would rise up and they would oppress the Israelites. They're stealing the crops. They're enslaving the people. And the people would once again be in great distress. Now, here in this passage, it does not point out the truth that was coming out. They would cry out to the Lord. They would ask the Lord for help. They'd be like, okay, nothing else is working. Nothing else in my life is going right. I've tried everything I can think of, and I can't get what I need. And finally, they're crying out, God, we've sinned. God, we left you. God, is this really, did you fulfill these judgments in our lives? Is that why this is happening? And then the Lord answered. Are you like that? We try everything else before we try God. We don't pray first about any situations. We're going to fix it because we can fix it. And if we can't fix it, there's bound to be a social service that can fix it, or a friend that can help, or some other way that we can get our need met. When the very first response needs to be, Lord, I need you. Lord, deliver. Lord, save. Lord, come help. Great distress. Look, in Proverbs 14, it says this. The house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish. In verse 12, there's a way that appears right, but in the end, it leads to death. For some of us, we are living outside of what God would want. We're just living that wicked life. Of course there's judgment comes. Of course. But sometimes, we're the verse 12 type of person. We're thinking we're doing right, but because we're so distant from the Lord, our actions, we don't even realize that it's the way that leads to death. Oh, sure, we're pursuing our career. We're pursuing relationships like we think we can handle it. But we're doing it in our own strength and in our own way. And it's not from the Lord. In the end, it leads to destruction. In Galatians, Paul says the same thing, where he says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, their own desires, their own what they want. Whoever sows like sowing seed to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap what? Destruction. And whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Now let's be clear. We have eternal life because Jesus died for our sins. That we put our faith in Him, we have forgiveness. But let me tell you, even if you have ultimate forgiveness, we are missing the eternal life that God intends for us now. We are missing that eternal life that God calls us to right now, and we're ending up in destructive places. Anybody testify to this? Anybody want to say amen, that when I have gone my own way, it's always been a dead-end street with a flat tire, and you blew a gasket or something, you know, right? It always ends up in being a place where I got to get a tow truck. Somebody else has got to get me out of the mess. Well, when they cried out to the Lord, when the people in Judges said, God, we've sinned, we've blown it, we've gone away from you again, we've messed up again, this generation, we've lost our way, God always answered. We're going to see this in the next few weeks. God always answers, not because of how good they were, not because of how deserving we were, not because of how righteous we are, but because of how good and loving and faithful and righteous God is. And He answered with a provision. So who became the promissory provision of the Lord? And I'm going to just tell you, I put who there on for a reason. Who became the promissory provision of the Lord? It was a judge. They called them judges. Now, when we think of judge as somebody in a courtroom, these judges were deliverers. They not only often taught the ways of God, though sometimes they didn't really teach much about God, they were often a military deliverer who got them out of their trouble, out of their situation. He was the redeemer, the rescuer. I call it a promissory provision because this judge was pointing to the true judge, the king who would ultimately come, the king who would ultimately come. In Judges chapter 2, it says this, "Then the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the hands of the raiders." Verse 17, "Yet they would not listen to their judges, but prostituted themselves to other gods and worshiped them. They turned quickly from the ways of their ancestors who had been obedient to the Lord's command." Whenever the Lord raised up a judge for them, he was with that judge and he saved them out of the hands of their enemies as long as that judge lived. For the Lord relented because of their groaning under those who had oppressed and afflicted them. Verse 19, "But when that judge died, the people returned to ways even more corrupt than those of their ancestors, following other gods, serving and worshiping them. They refused to give up their evil practices and their stubborn ways. Therefore, the Lord was angry with them because this nation has violated the covenant I ordained for their ancestors and hasn't listened to me," the Lord says. "I will no longer drive out before them any of the nations Joshua left when he died, but I will use them to test Israel and see whether they will keep the way of the Lord and walk in it as their ancestors did. The Lord has allowed those nations to remain. He did not drive them out at once by giving them into the hands of Joshua." Okay, what do we see here? This is how this book is outlined. It's a cycle. It's a cycle. What happens? They sin. They abandon the Lord. All of a sudden, there are oppression from raiders who come. They repent. They're like, "God, we messed up. The disaster that's come in our lives has woken us up." And so what happens? God raises up a judge, a deliverer who comes. And for a time, they have peace with the Lord. And then guess what? They always went back to sin. Does that sound like somebody you know? Does that sound like someone you know? Yeah. The problem was it kept getting worse and worse and worse for the people. If we read this as a whole, even though it's generations, it kept getting worse. Each judge, it gets messier and messier and messier because ultimately this cycle is not what we're intended for. This cycle is not good for the people of God. This cycle is not good for us. We need to realize that there is a break to these cycles, that we can get out of it. And the very two things that I want you to realize that help us break this cycle is, number one, we need to right now remember that we have an eternal judge right now. Jesus is the King. Jesus is the deliverer once and for all from our sins. And he gives us this new life. Jesus is our eternal judge. Look what it says in Acts chapter 10. It says, "He," Jesus, "commanded us," the apostle said, "to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God has appointed as judge of the living and the dead." He is ultimately going to evaluate us. He saved us, but he's the one who is with us. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness through his name. Our sins are forgiven, but our deeds are still under evaluation. We need to be those that are walk in a right relationship with him. Christ is with me today. He is with me now. I forget because I got things to do. Anybody got homework for tomorrow? Yeah, my class isn't ready for Tuesday. I already got grading. I don't know why I do this to myself. Why have I already got grading to do in the first week? I've already got assignments coming in. I've got so much to get done today that how am I going to get? Man, someone's got to do the yard work. I've got more good deeds to recount to my wife. I got to get more things done so I can let her know. There's laundry to do. I need to remember the Lord today, that he is with me, that my thoughts, my actions, I want them to be pleasing in his sight. He is with me, the risen Christ, today. Live each day with that thought. live each day with his presence. Number two, we need to realize that Christ has given us right now eternal life. Not just for the future, but right now. This next verse comes from Romans chapter 6. It says Acts 10, but it's Romans 6. I just messed up. But it says, the death Jesus, died. He died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. We don't need a new Savior each time. We already have one. But we also don't need to go back to sin. How many of you all have gotten out of an addiction that found yourself, you're back in it? It's a pretty common occurrence. Pretty common to leave something. I don't do that anymore, but all of a sudden we're doing that again. What things that are in our character, they're like, man, I really got my anger under control until something happens, and boy, then I'm mad. And we have these things that get us. We don't have to live there. We count ourselves dead to sin, but alive in Christ Jesus. He's given us his Holy Spirit. He's empowered us to live. But we're not going to do it if we're not reminding ourselves that the living Christ is with me today through his Holy Spirit. That Jesus is empowering me today. That he has called me to live in righteousness today. That I need to walk with him today. And tomorrow's not going to be any different. I need to follow each day, what God has for me. It doesn't necessarily get easier, but it does become a habit of following the Lord, of following the Lord. Today, where are you? Have you kind of like sort of just forgotten those truths of the Lord? Do you need to set some new patterns, new routines in your life this semester? Making church a priority, making Bible reading, time with God a priority. Do you need to join a small group so you can learn more about God, so it becomes more entrenched in your mind? What do you need to do today to follow him? Now, if you've never made a decision for Jesus, like it just hadn't been part of your life, maybe today's your day. Jesus, I want to follow you. Maybe you just haven't been following in a while, and you just need to say, Lord, I haven't been with you in a while, but I am in great distress. I need the life you give. Or maybe you just want to say, Lord, I want to live today as a living sacrifice, and this is what I want to do this week to remember every day that my life belongs to you. What is the decision Christ is calling you to do? We're going to have the worship team come. They're going to just lead us in a song. It's always a song of commitment. It's a song of dedication. It's a time for you to say, Lord, here I am. Have all of me. Forgive me. I'm yours. I'm going to follow you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the example of the Israelites who forgot you. As a challenge for us not to forget all of the good things that you give. You are good. What you do has been so good. Keep teaching us your ways. We pray this in the name of Christ, the name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen. If you would like, you're welcome to stand, or maybe you just need to sit or kneel, or maybe you need to come up to the front. You respond in a way that lets God know, God, I'm yours. I'm yours.